Ready?
Yeah, she's ready.
We have a request for the Old Rugged Cross. I guess Wayne wants to hear it. Last time, I don't think we had the tape.
The Old Rugged Cross, what number is it?
Did you want to do that one?
That's 273.
Look under the T's, the old.
Is it me? You sure? I don't know, they change it a lot. 228?
228?
Did you find it?
228.
Well, we have it.
Okay, Wayne, this is for you.
You gonna sing out of the same book?
Yes, sir.
You are? What if he says a word? Can you still say it?
No, sure.
Okay.
so I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.
Thank you, Wayne. That's for you. Hey. That, that would help. Do you want to play a song, or are you ready?
I'm ready to take an offer.
Okay.
Are you ready to take an offer?
Are you ready to take an
offer? You want us, let's get Sam up here to take an offering tonight. Would you do that, brother?
That'll be something,
yeah.
Let me get out here.
All right. Careful there.
I will.
Listen, why would I think about the offering? Let's pray for Joe, who's in his operation on his back tomorrow.
That's right.
Okay. And let's pray for Susie, Lord, and Mark. Mark is not doing great either, but Susie, you know, is sick and cannot have her operation, her surgery operation. So let's, especially we're remembering others too, we're remembering, of course, Jean and so forth.
And Fran called and said Frank's in the hospital, so let's pray for him too. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know whether I can remember more than three people. That's great. Father, we do want to come before you, Lord, and thank you for your presence with us. And we want to especially remember before you these dear folks, Lord, your children, Lord. We pray for Frank, Lord. Be with us, this dear man, Lord. We know that he has not received the Lord Jesus as his Savior, really, and he comes and so forth. But we pray for him, and be with Fran, bless her, Lord, and be with Frank, Lord. And we pray for Susie, Lord. We ask you for your healing hand upon her, sufficient enough, Lord, that she can go in and have the surgery operation.
Amen.
And so we ask you to be with her right now, and be with Mark, Lord, and be with Joe. Joe going in for a back operation, Lord. So we ask you to be with the doctors, be with the whole process, give success for this, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the way you have blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And so, Lord, we just bring what is yours back to you, and we ask you to bless this offering in every way, Lord. Bless this offering as we give it unto the Lord and each heart and mind and life. And then we do look to you to use this for the missionaries, too, that we support throughout the world. We thank you for them out there, Lord. Be with them in every way, supplying their needs, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, morally, physically. And thank you for the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sharon, before you sit down, would you share with us something about your trip? Make it short, because we want to hear more Wednesday night.
Oh.
Okay?
Well, it was a very good trip. It was a very, very good trip. We have a house mother now who happens to be the biological mother of three of the kids and a sister of another one.
Amen.
While we were there, we
Amen.
And so that's a praise right there. Anyway, she was concerned about these girls, and she brought them to Arequipa, and so they're our kids now. And we got another one from an orphanage that had been offered to us a year ago, but the house parents at that time were older, and they couldn't see taking on more work, so they refused her. But we got her this time, and so we have three more girls, and they're all going to school, and it's a joy to see them. And we started some construction as well, and that's an iffy kind of a thing, and construction is always one of those things where you go, are they ever going to finish it, and we have another project in mind that we want to start tomorrow, but we'll see. It would be a study room and a clothing room, a wardrobe, and something that we really, really need. But other than that, everything is nice.
Amen. Wonderful. All right. And we're glad that God gave you a good, safe trip, and you got back to us okay. Well, I hope that our recorder is working. Say the third time is charmed. This is my third time. The other two times we wound up with blank cassettes and blank CDs, and everything else was blank. It reminds me, I started off on this fairly early. I just turned 18 and went into the Navy. Now, I was a country boy. We lived out there. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have automobiles. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have running water and all such as this. This was back in the boonies. And so when I went into the Navy, they took one look at me and said, "He will make a good radioman." Radio? I'd never seen one of those things. They didn't have radio. And they were going to make a radio man out of me? Well, by the time they got through with me, I could take a whole box apart of parts and put them together and make them talk. I learned. But I don't have 6 months to spend back there on that machine like I did. But I hope I push the right buttons on it, and we'll find out if it's recording our message tonight or not. But we're... Yes, Roger?
You made a telephone line out of it. I don't know why. It must be a telephone, but I never climbed a pole in my life.
Never climbed a pole in your life. Well, I'll tell you, we can be trained to do a lot of things, can't we? Anyway, tonight I want to talk to you a little while about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Now, we're going to be reading from three different places in the book of Acts, because we have it in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. And here in the ninth chapter is, he's giving an account of his actual conversion. He's saying how it happened. And then we'll be looking at Acts chapter 22. And beginning in verse 4 through verse 16, we have Paul at Jerusalem. And he has been arrested, and he was in protective custody because the Jews wanted to kill him and the Romans were trying to save his life. But he stood up before his accusers and told the story of his conversion to Christ on the Damascus Road.
Then we find him again in Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 18. So we have Paul's conversion three times here. Now, here in Acts 26, we find him at Caesarea, on the coast of the Mediterranean there. And he is a prisoner. He's being brought before two kings. Well, one of them was a governor, Agrippa and Festus. And he gives his testimony before these two kings. Now, I like to hear personal testimonies of Christians when they talk about their conversion to Christ. It just stirs up something within me that just kind of boils over like a pot of joy when I hear people talk about their being saved. What is a testimony? Well, all of us have one. A testimony is a verbal witness for Christ. And our conversion is a demonstration of his power to change sinners into saints. And it's an inspiration, I believe, for those of like faith. It's an encouragement and a motivation for those who have not as yet made a public profession of faith in Christ. And it serves as a support for our faith. It just makes you feel good and encourages you in your faith in Christ. I remember some years ago, we went out among the members of our congregation and we got everybody's spiritual birthday. Asked everybody, when were you saved? And we made a list of that and we would print it in our bulletin. And we must have just quit that not too recently. I don't think it's in there now. Shows you what attention I pay to the bulletin. And they do such a good job, Bob and Betsy, putting out the bulletin each week. But we would post the date of their conversion in the bulletin each month. And that's the way we still do our birthdays and anniversaries, if you notice that. Because on the second Tuesday night of each month, we have our little get-together after the evening service. We celebrate the birthdays and anniversaries of everybody that has birthdays and anniversaries that month. But we don't celebrate the spiritual birthdays anymore. We're going to have to start doing that again. Very interesting. Because after all, the date of our conversion is the reddest red letter day of our lives, isn't it? We celebrate our physical birthdays. We celebrate our anniversaries. We celebrate the birthdays of our children and kinfolks and things like that. So why not celebrate the date of our new birth when we were born again and became a child of God? Probably most of us cannot remember the date of our conversion. I can't. The experience I had when I got saved was certainly not comparable to that of Paul. I didn't see any bright lights. I didn't hear any voice from heaven. And a lot of other things. I don't even remember the month I was saved. I'm pretty sure it was in June or July. I suppose if I really wanted to find out, I could write to that little country church at the forks of the road in East Texas down there and have them look back on their records to 1940. After all, that's only, what, 74 years? I'm sure they would still have a record of it. But anyway, I think we still publish our death dates in our bulletin, the time when our members die and move into the presence of the Lord. Because that is a red letter day too. At least it will be for me. There may be some people who will mourn and weep for a little while when I die, but hey, I'm going to be with the Lord. That's a red letter day when I die. In fact, if you go out to the cemetery and you look, you'll find two dates on most every headstone. It'll be the date of their birth, their physical birth, and the date of their physical death. And of course, if they were a Christian, that date of their physical death will be the red letter day that they entered into glory. So we have some important dates in our lives. And while we're on the subject, I was thinking that wouldn't it be kind of nice if, like, on every Sunday night for a while, in between the offering and the preaching or somewhere along in there, that we would have a testimony of someone who's been, you know, alerted that they might be called on to give their testimony, and just take a few minutes and let one by one tell us about when they got saved. Wouldn't that be nice? So we decide to do that. You'd better start getting some information together if you can find out when you were saved and tell us something about the circumstances of it. I believe Paul would like that idea too, because he gave his testimony several times. As we said before, it's recorded three times by the Holy Spirit of the Lord in the Bible here in the book of Acts. Three times. It seems repetitive, but you know, God doesn't put things like that in there three times just for space fillers. He put it in there for a purpose. And it's inspiring, because it seems that Paul is telling us that what God has done for me, he can do for you. That's what I get out of it. Now, I want you to listen tonight to all three of these, because we've gone into the 9th chapter and the 22nd chapter and the 26th chapter and compiled all of them into one story, into one testimony, because he might tell it just a little different from one time to the next. Not so much different, but using different words and emphasizing certain things that happened. So I want you tonight to listen to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He starts off by telling us, "I verily thought with myself," this is before his conversion now, "that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." You'll remember that during the ministry of Christ, he had much opposition from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests, the scribes, the rulers of the Jews, didn't he? They cried for his blood. And they didn't like him. And now we find that Paul himself was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was against everything that Jesus was and stood for. And he didn't like what was happening among his people with this new religion that they had picked up. He says he was doing many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they, the saints, were put to death, I gave my voice against them. The first time that we run across him in Scripture was when poor old Stephen got stoned to death. They threw rocks at him and hit him with those rocks until he died. And Paul was there. He was not Paul then. He was Saul of Tarsus. And he was consenting to Stephen's stoning. And he enjoyed it. He thought he was doing God a favor. He said, when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I persecuted this way. That's what he called it. This way. Unto the death. Binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Made no difference to him. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. Now the synagogue was their church. The building where they assembled to worship God. Every Saturday they would meet. And every synagogue had a rabbi, a leader. And he would go into the synagogues. Because there were many Jews who had been converted to Christ who still went to the synagogue to worship. So he would go to the synagogues and compel them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities, foreign cities. He says, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, I went unto the high priest and all the estate of the elders and received letters to Damascus. Now he's going to travel all the way out of Israel over into Syria, because Damascus was the capital of Syria. And it was 150 miles away from Jerusalem. And he's got some men with him. And he heard that there were some Christians at Damascus that were worshiping Jesus Christ as Lord. And he's going over there after them. And he's got authority with him. He's got letters from the chief priest in Jerusalem. He says, they were unto the brethren of the synagogues, that if I found any of this way, whether men or women, with authority and commission from the chief priests, I might bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. That's the kind of fellow he was. He was zealous for God, but he was persecuting Jesus. So here they are, he and his band of men, on the way to Damascus. And they get almost to Damascus and something exciting happens. He says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon." Noonday is when the sun is at its zenith, when it is shining the brightest that you'll see it all day. About noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. It got to a whole bunch of them, just like a spotlight from heaven that shone down upon them. And when we were all fallen to the earth, boy, it knocked them down. I mean, they went down flat on the ground from the power of this light. We were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. "I am Jesus of Nazareth," he said, "whom thou persecutest." But wait just a moment. Jesus had already gone back to heaven. He had been there for quite a while. This didn't happen the next day after his ascension. This happened several years after that. "I am Jesus of Nazareth." And Paul said, "And I, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Think of the words. The first question was, "Who art thou?" And when he finds out, he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You know, that's a question that every person that comes to Christ ought to ask. What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto me, "Arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." I'm going to tell you why I have appeared to you. For this purpose. What is it? "To make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." You're going to be a minister and a witness of your own personal experience. Delivering thee from the people. The people that he refers to here are his people, the Jews. "I will deliver you from the Jews. And from the Gentiles. Remember, there's only two classes of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. If you weren't one, you were the other. And from the Gentiles, I'll deliver you from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. What wilt thou have me to do? I'm sending you to the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. They were living in spiritual darkness. And Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. You're going to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Those who were unsaved were the children of Satan. And he's going to turn them from being children of Satan to children of God. That's what he did to us. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. I'm going to make you a minister and a witness so that you can go out and tell people about Jesus so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins. That's God's overall plan and purpose for every Christian, for everyone that he saves. We are to go out and spread the news, as we said in our message this morning, that salvation is free. All you have to do is receive it. Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus says. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. All of this, it's eternal. It's reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God. All right. Here's some immediate instructions. Go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. God has a path set out for Paul that he's going to travel. He has appointed this work for him. Paul is given his assignment. He has a duty, an obligation to perform for the Lord. He goes on to say, and the men which journeyed with me stood speechless. They didn't know what to say or what to do, and were afraid, seeing indeed the light and hearing the voice of him that spake to me. Now, they heard the voice. They could not distinguish the words. They did not hear the voice of Jesus as Paul heard it with his ears. They heard the noise of the speech, but could not distinguish the words. Now, but seeing no man, Paul says, I arose from the earth, and when my eyes were opened, I could not see for the glory of that light. But they that were with me, apparently it didn't affect them this way, because he says, they that were with me led me by the hand and brought me into Damascus, to the house of Judas on the street which is called Straight. I've never been there, but I hear that Straight Street is still in Damascus. It's never been renamed. There, he says, I was 3 days without sight. Neither did I eat or drink, but prayed. A 3-day prayer meeting that he had with the Lord. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. The Lord appeared to him in a vision and said, Ananias, called him by his name. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. See how God is working here on both of these people? Then Ananias said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Are you sure you want me to do this? Do you know who he is? Do you know all about him? And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call in thy name. See, word had already gotten to those Christians in Damascus that Saul is on his way. He's going to get you. So Ananias is not really offering an objection. He's just reminding the Lord about who he's talking about. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. I love that. I'm sorry. That's precious, isn't it? Amen. He is a chosen vessel unto me. Amen. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must, S-U-F-F-E-R, suffer for my name's sake. Oh, I'll tell you, people think that once they get into the will of God and begin to do the work of God, that man, the sunshine of God's love and favor, shines on their path every day. How much they must suffer. There are several books written about the Book of Martyrs by Fox is a good one. And there are others that are equal with that, that have traced the persecution of God's people down through the ages. And there was a time when those ages were called the Dark Ages. And it was especially bad back then. We think that once we get saved, no more problems, no more trouble. The light of God's favor is going to shine on us every day. We'll never get sick. Let me tell you something. As God's people, they have suffered more than anybody else, any other group of people on the face of this earth. Amen. Read your Old Testament about Israel. They were God's people. God chose them in Abraham, made a great nation out of them. But look at the problems they had. And it's the same way whenever we become Christians. Some people think that once they become a Christian and all of their sins are pardoned and forgiven and blotted out and they're cleansed and all such as that, that everything's going to be all right. But you're just getting out of the frying pan into the fire. Show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, came unto me and stood, putting his hands on me and said, Brother Saul, did you see that brother in there? He'd already accepted him as a brother in Christ. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the inward power that Paul is going to use constantly in his work and service for Jesus Christ. Everything that he does will be done through the power of the Holy Spirit that is on him. It says, receive thy sight. And immediately there fell from my eyes as it had been scales. I look at that and I see scabs, you know, like on a sore. His eyes had been so damaged by the bright light that shined down from heaven that it had formed a crust over his eyeballs. Now normally that put your eyes out, wouldn't it? But we're dealing with a miracle here, and he received his sight. He said, I received sight forthwith, and the same hour I looked upon him. Now he's getting some more marching orders. And he, Ananias, said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. You like that? Chosen in him from the foundation of the world. Chosen of God. God hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Think of that. Most of our New Testament came from the pen of the Apostle Paul. And he being dead yet speaketh. Think of that. Paul, he's gone. But the Word of God lives on. The words that he wrote in his letters to the church at Ephesus and the church at Corinth and all of those other letters that he wrote that have become our New Testament, bearing witness of what he had seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Ananias said, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And he closes his testimony by saying, and I arose and was baptized. I arose and was baptized. Now, let me just briefly give you this. We'll put a tag on the end of it. After this, he testified. Over in 2 Corinthians, he tells us in Damascus, and this is while he's there, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, had a body of military troops that were stationed there as a fort. And he said he was desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. So he got out of town. Where did he go? What did he do? He is this chosen vessel of the Lord. He's going to be suffering, the Lord told him. He tells us in Galatians 1:17 that after he escaped through that window in the wall, that he went into Arabia. That's Saudi Arabia. Look on your map in the back of your Bible. There's maps back there that shows you the division of the country. He went into Arabia. Now, we don't know exactly how long he stayed in Arabia, but he says that he returned again to Damascus, where he remained and ministered for 3 years. 3 years. And then after 3 years, he finally went back to Jerusalem. And he visited with Simon Peter in Jerusalem for 15 days. And while he was there, he met James, the Lord's brother. And then, after the 15 days was up, that was his vacation, I guess, he evangelized the areas of Syria and Cilicia. Now, these are countries that we're reading about in the news today. They're still there. Syria, Cilicia, Saudi Arabia. Cilicia was the region where Paul had grown up. He had been born and raised at Tarsus, which was the capital of Cilicia. And he evangelized there in Syria and Cilicia for 14 years before he returned again to Jerusalem a second time. And the second time that he came, he was accompanied by a fellow by the name of Barnabas and another one by the name of Titus. We know them, don't we? And then when he left Jerusalem that time, he went to Antioch. And Antioch was the capital of Syria at that time. Antioch was the place where Simon Peter had gone and had established a church. And he stayed there, I believe it was for 9 years. And then another fellow took his place. And now Paul is going up there with Barnabas and Titus, and they're going to be there serving the Lord in that church at Antioch until one day the Lord is going to say, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas, because I've got a special work for them to do. And that's when Paul started his first missionary journey, of which he made three. And the rest is history. Did you enjoy his testimony there, his conversion? All right. You think about the time when you were converted. Every one of us were converted a different way. None of us like the Apostle Paul. I appreciate your listening tonight. Hope that we said something that would be a blessing to you. Remember Wednesday night services. Come out and study in the book of Deuteronomy with us. Let's stand together, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Asbury, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this word that we've heard. Thank you, Lord God, for working in our lives to save us and to direct us, Lord God, to fulfilling the purpose for which you put us here on this earth.
Amen.
Be with us, Lord God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us, Lord God, to reach souls for you.
Yes, Lord.
To bring glory to you each and every day, Lord. Please give us good health and be with those who can't be here because of their health. Be with those that are in the hospital, those that will be seeing the doctor this week, and bless them as well. Bless our preacher and his family, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless you real good. Thanks for coming out.